Good morning, all. I have been so nervous about speaking. Once I'm up here, I'm fine. It's a weird thing, but the lead up to it, I literally go through this process, part of the process being where I decide I'm not doing it. I'll phone Rob, he'll have to sort something out. I know very well I'm not going to do that, but I just have to feel like I've got an out. You know, and I said to Tino, do you want to speak this morning? You got anything on your heart you want to share? No, Liz. So it's just funny, you know. Maybe it's a good thing to be nervous, because then I've got to rely completely on God today. So that's got to be a good thing. So before I get into it, I just wanted to honour a couple of people this morning that have been on my heart for a couple of weeks that I really feel God just wants to bless today, really. So Pat Turpin, would you come out a minute, please? Now, I just want you to put your hands up if you have been encouraged by Pat in the years that she's been... There you go. Pat is always sending out lovely cards, and it always just comes at the right time. You know, when you're just having a tough week and you wonder sometimes if anybody remembers you, and then you get something through the post from Pat that just encourages you. You know, and I know how much she's encouraged Tino and Rob, and, you know, when they sort of took over things here. And it's a real blessing. And so much of what you do is unseen, because, you know, I know you don't want like a... But I just want to say thank you, because we need encouragers. We need people that we know genuinely care and love about us. And I knew Pat was praying when Tino and Rob were in Israel, and others were too. And you sense that prayer. And because of that prayer, that week was not tough as I was worried it could be with just me and the kids. It was an incredible week, and Jill had the same testimony, that we just had a really peaceful week with our families while the guys were away. And I knew you were praying, you know, and even when you were miles and miles away, she was still sending messages of encouragement even then, even after all the things that you've been through. So I just think that's an incredible thing. So I just want to say thank you. It's only some flowers, it's nothing massive, but it's just to say we love you and thank you. And the hugs, yeah, if you've never had a hug from Pat, seek her out, they're awesome. Okay, this bunch of flowers is for a lady I've known all my life, who I just think is incredible, because there is somebody in our midst who always believes in us, always hopes for the best, even through the toughest times, and that is Doreen. So, come on out. Yeah, whenever I speak with Doreen, she genuinely loves everybody here, and she absolutely believes in all of us. Having somebody that believes in you and just hopes for the best for this body at all times, and has been so incredibly faithful in praying for each and every one of us. How old are you now? Do you mind me asking? 88. Grandmother, great-grandmother. How many great-grandchildren?
Six.
Six great-grandchildren. I mean, I just think it's incredible. You've just been so faithful to us, and I just want to bless you this morning and say thank you. What I love about the way I prepare, I have reams and reams of notes I probably won't even look at. I mean, how could you pick something out of that? I do a therapy group on Monday mornings with my colleague at work, a psychologist. And we have all these scripts that we work through. We do this stuff called dialectical behavioural therapy for people with binge eating disorder. And she sticks to the script word for word. You know, it totally panics her, my style, because I just kind of get the gist of what we're trying to teach and the skills. And then I just put the script under the seat, and she starts getting really twitchy, because she'll kind of read word for word. And, you know, that's great, because people have different styles, but we work well together. So... just before the summer holidays, I was speaking about having an eternal perspective and what that means. You know, actually knowing who we are in Christ. But it's more than that. Actually realizing, when it says our citizenship is in heaven, that our real life is our life with the Lord, and the rest of it is like vapors. It's all part of it. But I think sometimes we've got it the other way around, that we think, oh, the chaos of our life, that's the real life. They haven't really got time for the Lord sometimes because it's not real life to be praising all the time. You know, people have actually said that to me before. Well, it's not real life, is it, really, to be all spiritual all the time? That's not. But you know what? It is real life. That is our real life. And what's been interesting since last time I shared about having an eternal perspective is how much I have struggled. This past 2 weeks have been two of the hardest weeks I think I've ever had. Just felt like everything was going wrong. And I'm not someone who believes that every time things go wrong, it's an attack from the devil. Sometimes I think we do a good job of messing things up and he doesn't have to do anything to help. But it has felt like that. And it was lots of, I guess, little things, but the build-up of it. You know, while the guys were cycling and on their holiday, you know, we had cars breaking down. The cat was attacked by a neighbour's dog. I know, sad. He's fine. He lost his purr for 24 hours. I know, very, very sad. But he's fine now. He's purring again. We got two new gerbils. Doesn't sound like a very traumatic event. I was like completely freaked out having to look after these things because I was already starting to feel overwhelmed with work and all sorts of things. And now we've taken on these other two little lives. And I know they're just gerbils, but I was checking on them every 10 minutes to make sure they were breathing. It was so bizarre. And I was just like, oh, I can't cope with this. It's just too much. And then work's just been so overwhelming because we've lost members of staff. They're constantly cutting our budget, but we get 80 referrals a month. That's 80 new patients a month, and we're a team of 20 people. And they're all people with really complex issues. So I was just starting to feel really, really, really overwhelmed. There's been other situations I've been dealing with. And I kind of got to a really low emotional ebb. My resilience was kind of rock bottom. You know when you're at that point where you just think you're going to burst into tears over nothing? If anybody says anything mean to me, I'm just going to be a heap on the floor. It was kind of like that. And then I got an email from my boss that was just pointing out something I'd missed. It wasn't even anything major. That's her job. And I was just sitting there crying. I was thinking, what's the matter with you? You know, it was just my resilience was that low. And then I went on some home visits and Tuesday was unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. So the first patient that I saw was recently bereaved and I sat with him for nearly 2 hours. And then the next patient was a guy who has just given up his work to care for his wife who's been diagnosed with cancer. And then the next patient I went to had just self-harmed and cut herself. And I had to deal with that and call the crisis team. And then the patient after that is somebody who's the same age as me. And it always kind of hits you when you're with somebody who's the same age as you, who's completely bedbound, not just because of her weight, but because they gave her some experimental drugs for a condition that she had and it caused brain damage. And she was a professional dancer and she's always showing me these photographs of how things were and look how beautiful I was. And I went this week and she'd had sepsis and had part of her leg removed, which we hadn't even been told about. So she'll probably never walk again, barring a miracle. So that was my day. And I was already absolutely sort of on the floor with things that I needed to do and be doing. And that's when it just hit me again that I was once again trying to do things in my own strength and trying to go through life almost without the Lord. You know, we can get so busy and caught up, we forget who we are. We forget who we've got inside us. I mean, the God who made heaven and earth and who made us, the creator of everything, surely he's got the answers. We know he's got the answers. So why do we keep trying to push through, get through all these circumstances without him? Why would we want to do that? You know, when people talk about first love, don't they? Let's think back, those of us that are married, think back to when you fell in love. We were so soppy. We used to drive our friends mad at university because we were so soppy. And if like our friend Tim ended up being stuck with the two of us, he'd be like, oh my word. Oh, please. Because we were just really soppy. But when you're in love with somebody, you cannot wait until the next time that you see them. You miss them so much. You just cannot wait to be with them. And you just get so excited about it. And that's how we need to be with the Lord. It's not even about coming back to our first love. It's not about going back. It's about right now at this point, if you were presented with that choice right now, you know, would you like to follow Jesus? Would you like to make him your Lord and Savior? What would you say? That sounds like a daft question. You probably, well, obviously we'd say yes. But why is it that we say yes to that, but then go off on our own path? Because it isn't just about eternal life. You know, it's not just about making a decision and thinking, phew, right, what I've got to do today, make sure I've got eternal life. Brilliant, tick that off. Right, what's next? It's got to be more than that. It's not just a to-do thing. It's about heaven on earth. It's about the things that Rob was talking about before, about all these people that desperately need to know the gospel and know that God loves them. Have we genuinely got eternity so embedded in our hearts that we are desperate to see the lost saved, desperate to see the sick healed, or are we just so overwhelmed? I don't want to ever feel like that again, so overwhelmed with everything. And if it's been ages since you were in the presence of the Lord, I encourage you to get back in there. Get back in there. Let me just ask you a few questions. Is it on about page 10 of all my copious notes? There's some things to think about. Do you trust God? Are you in love with the Lord? You'd know if you were, because you'd be impatient to spend time with him. You'd be cancelling other things to be with him, counting the minutes till you were together again. And you would want to tell anyone who would listen about this love you'd found and how you'd never found anyone like him before, and you've never felt like this before. Do you relish your relationship with him? Do you guard it carefully? When did you last speak to him and enjoy his presence? You know, if and this is talking to me as well, if anybody was to ask us now, what's the Lord talking to you about at the moment? What are you working through with the Lord? Or what's he calling you to at this time in your life? Doesn't matter what age you are. Would we be able to answer and say, do we know what the Lord's calling us to do at the moment? Do we know why we're here? Do we know what our purpose is? Do you know what your giftings are? You know, have you ever sort of operated fully in the gifts, or do you just not have a clue what your giftings are? You know, the truth is, and this is serious stuff really, because I still can't believe I'm 43. There's probably people here that can't believe I'm 43 if you've known me all my life. It really does go so incredibly quickly, and I don't want to stand here at 63 and 83 saying the same things, or I've really struggled. You know, I want to be somebody who knows what it is to walk with the Lord on a daily basis, not just come to church. I want to be somebody that people say to, my word, what is it about you? When's the last time somebody said that? What is it about you? How can you be so peaceful with all this going around? How come you're always so joyful? You know, it's not just about saying something positive, because there's lots of positive people out there that don't know the Lord. There's lots of jolly people. It's about so much more than that. What is it about your life that is attracting people to Jesus right now? You know, we keep talking about we each have a purpose and we all have a part in the body, but this is serious stuff, because what are we doing about it? You know, we don't have that long down here. That's not meant to be depressing, but the fact is it's a short part of the journey. But I wonder if Jesus was to come back right now, you know, would we be happy to go, or would we go, oh, hang on, I've just got a Facebook notification. Just hang on, Lord. I don't want to miss it. You know, how easy would it be for us to leave our homes that we've spent time decorating? We might have just had a lovely extension and we haven't had time to enjoy it. And then the Lord's come back. Oh, you know, I'm asking this as a serious question right now. Can we hand on heart say we can leave all that behind, because we know that it's just stuff? It is just stuff. And me, like anybody else, sometimes I'll see people like friends who don't know the Lord, and they seem to have this really easy life. You know, I've got friends, other people comment on this friend of mine on Facebook, just constantly off on holiday, constantly doing something else to the house, you know, really loving life, constantly out at hen do's and parties, and it all looks great. And doesn't seemingly get that bogged down with life or seem to worry. And I just look and think, well, I must be going wrong somewhere. You know, we can get jealous of people because it seems like it's an easy ride for them. But there's no easy ride in not getting to spend eternity with the Lord. That's not an easy ride. You know, he is real. He is here right now. And if you've ever fully been in his presence, like just completely immersed in it, it's true that there's nothing like it. It is absolutely true. Who can testify to that? It is true. But sometimes I think we need to be seeking it more. You know, we're told to do all as unto the Lord, you know, but it is actually possible to be busy in church but not be doing things unto the Lord. Maybe out of obligation. Maybe because it's become habitual. To be honest, I wouldn't know what else to do on a Sunday morning. I've been coming to church for pretty much 43 years. What do people do? Would I wash the car? Would I mow the lawn? I don't really know, because I've been coming to church all my life. And that can become a habitual thing, a behaviour. Okay, but that's not a living, breathing, exciting relationship with God. And I felt that this morning, when I was just talking to the Lord about this, and I felt he just said that I needed to say to some people that what he's saying this morning is, I miss you. I miss you. It's been a while. And I miss communicating with you. Because if my relationship with Tino, it was like my relationship with the Lord sometimes, I think we'd be running into problems. You know, if I wasn't listening to what he was saying, and sometimes I don't, obviously, you know, or if I didn't want to spend time with him, or I hadn't seen him for several weeks. Yeah, we were sort of in the same house, but I was just doing my thing and he was doing his things. What effect would that have? It would harden our hearts. We would become cold towards each other. You know, and that can happen. Now, that's just an important thing as well in your marriages and your friendships. You need to invest time. You need to spend time together. You need to hear each other's hearts. Otherwise, you get resentful and it just creates all sorts of problems. So why do we do that with the God that we, you know, we sing these songs. I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. I surrender all to you. In you I live and move and have my being. You know, I really felt quite challenged when I looked at the words that I sing recently and think, wow, can I really say that? Do I really mean that? Strange noise. Is it the geese? I love that. That's the wonderful thing about living in Hightown, is all the geese that you see going over. Absolutely. It's wonderful, isn't it? Absolutely incredible. So I'm kind of continually challenged by the life of Paul. I talked about this last time, but man alive, he had it right, didn't he? To live is Christ, to die is gain. I mean, everything about whatever options he had, he knew who he was and he knew why he was here on the earth. I find him incredibly inspiring and I find him incredibly challenging as well. Can we put up the... I'll just find it. Philippians 1, 19 to 26. For to me, to live is Christ. This is from the Amplified, by the way, in case you're thinking, where's that coming from? He is my source of joy, my reason to live, and to die is gain, for I will be with him in eternity. If, however, it is to be life here and I am to go on living, this will mean useful and productive service for me. So I do not know which to choose, but I am hard pressed between the two. I have the desire to leave this world and be with Christ, for that is far, far better. Yet to remain in my body is more necessary and essential for your sake. Since I am convinced of this, I know I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so your rejoicing for me may overflow in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Wow. I just think that's incredible. I so want to be with the Lord, but I also know that if I stay here, I can still do some good. I've got a purpose here. He just wanted to bless others. He just wanted others to know what he had. And this was a guy who'd been through more than just buying a couple of gerbils. He'd had a really tough time. And I just think it's just the most inspiring thing to be able to say that, to know that those are the choices. You know, how much do we long to be with Jesus? You know, we sing songs that he's our best friend, he's our lover, he's strong, he's closer than a mother, is it we say? I mean, he sounds pretty incredible to me. We say he's our best friend. Well, I don't know about you, but I spend time with my best friends. I can't wait to see them either because we've got so much common and we enjoy each other's company and they know me and I know them. He's just the most incredible father and incredible friend. So having an eternal perspective, it's about realizing that all of this other stuff, it's just going to go like that. It really is. And what's on my heart, you know, when it comes to ministry, what's been on my heart for a while is reaching out to the over 65s. That's what's on my heart. I absolutely loved in my career working with older adults. I love all the stories. I love it. And I really quite miss that at the moment, the job that I'm doing, because I believe that that's part of my calling is with that age group and out there in the community. What's your calling? What's your part? You know, don't let another 5-10 years go past where everything just stays the same. Don't just keep coming on a Sunday morning but not really knowing what you're doing or why you're here. There's a very, very strong purpose, and there's giftings in here that aren't being used at the moment. You know, those with the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing. Incredible gift that's used for the body and for edification. You know, it's about getting stuck in. It's about supporting others. And something else on my heart I wanted to share was about your perspective of other people as well. Because I think it's really, really important. It's not. It's more than just, you know, seeing people as God sees them. It's about hearing people. It's about hearing their story. Because we do it. We make so many judgments about people and assumptions, but we don't take time to hear what people are saying because we're a diverse bunch, aren't we? You know, we're going to rub each other up the wrong way sometimes. That's natural because we've got every type of personality. You know, I'm an organiser. I can't help myself. I'm an organiser and I'm an initiator. I find it really hard if things aren't organised well or if I'm planning with somebody who goes, oh, well, we'll just see how it all turns out. That's quite hard for me, you know. But it's about hearing other people and accepting there's different styles and things. And it kind of stands to reason I was going to be an organiser. I'm Alan Chester's daughter. We like things done well, don't we, Dad? You know, we like things to be properly sorted and we like to know it's going to be done. But, you know, if you're not like that, people like us can be really annoying, can't we? And vice versa. But we're in this together. We keep saying we're a family. We're a team as well. And we're in this together. And we need all of those different strands because there'll be people in here who can connect with people that come through that door that others struggle to. You know, we've all got a part to play in that. Some people are better at some things than others. But we're in it together. And it's about hearing each other. It's about understanding each other. If you make an assumption about something that's happening or a decision that's been made and then you get into resentment or anger about that, you're going to be sat with that for ages. You know, go and seek clarity. You know, I had an example this week with quite a challenging friend of mine. Nobody here, so you need to try and guess who it is. And she's getting married in November and there's 9 bridesmaids. I'm one of them. It was 15. We managed to talk her down. But she is possibly the worst organiser you've ever met in your entire life. I mean, just horrendous. Everything's always either left to the last minute or she books the wrong thing. She's the sort who'd book the wrong car for an event or, you know. And there's 9 bridesmaids. So I guess you'd think out of that, you know, we'd be able to plan a hen do together. Should be quite easy. No, it has been the bane of my life for the last week, trying to organise all of these people. There's been miscommunications, there's been hurt and upset. It's just been all of these things. But a lot of that was down to assumptions being made. You know, so-and-so assumed that, you know, we weren't bothered about them because it was a bit expensive. And, you know, I made some assumptions and it just goes on and on. And I think a lot of the miscommunications that we have as a body are because of miscommunications or misunderstandings because we haven't taken time to listen. If you listen to someone's heart and you know their heart, then even if they do it something in a way you're not keen on or that's different to you, because you know their heart, you know where they're coming from, it's much easier then. You know, I can tell you hand on heart that Rob and Tino's heart is to see us move into where we're supposed to be moving into at this phase in Kingsway and that they want to see everybody find out what their giftings and callings are and that they are seeking God daily about the next steps. Are they going to make mistakes? Yeah, of course they are. But take time, spend time with the leaders, spend time with people that you struggle with so that you get an understanding, because that is God's perspective on the body and God's perspective on us. How excited are you about the Lord coming back? Are you excited? I really wanted him to come back this week, I've got to be honest. I was like, come on, Lord, I've had enough now. You know, but it's a serious question. It is a serious question. You know, people talk about whether we're ready or not, don't they? You know, it's not enough to just have made the decision and secured your place and then just to carry on living like everybody else. You know, we're meant to be salt and light and stand out. You know, but how do we do that? How do we stand out? You know, we might be quite afraid at the moment of even telling people we go to church. You know, sometimes it's difficult in the workplace, isn't it? To just share your heart and share where you're at. And, you know, all the things that you see in the press of people getting arrested because they've shared their faith and someone's been offended. And there's all these things that go on that kind of make you take a bit of a step back and think, ooh, you know, we're living in totally different times to 20 years ago. You know, it's a very different culture that we've got. But the only way to be in the right place with the right people at the right time is to be completely tuned into God. It's the only way. Because I haven't been the last 2 weeks and I let myself get so overwhelmed, I literally was kind of rock bottom with things. And, you know, I even started to question my own style on things, my personality, all sorts of things. You know, I started to feel quite discouraged by different things this week. But that's not the Lord's heart for me. You know, if he really is my best friend, then I need to be with him. I need to find out what he's saying to me right now at this moment in my life. Because I am 43 and there are things that I thought I'd have done by now. We all go through that. You think, gosh, I mean, just think about your age for a minute. Just say it a few times over and over in your head. Don't freak out. You know, but sometimes when you think about it like that, it kind of takes you by surprise and you think, oh my word, doesn't it go quickly? Your little numbers. It does. It goes so quickly. Are there still things on your heart that God spoke to you about in the past? Is there something that you've forgotten about that he's reminding you about right now? Something he spoke to you that you had a passion for, that's kind of gone? Or maybe you lost your confidence. Maybe you got discouraged. Maybe you thought, well, that can't be me. I can't do that. I never would have thought I could stand up here and talk to people. Not in a million years. I was absolutely terrified to hear my own voice out loud. I mean, it's just, only God can take a life and change it. There's nobody else. And if he puts you in a particular workplace or wherever he places you, it's all part of it. It's not that, you know, here's our Sunday life and then here's this. Because ultimately, if you don't know what your calling is, our calling is to share the gospel. And he'll put you in some places because he really needs you to share your heart there, but also to develop you. There's certain things that you do that develop you. I have learnt loads in the current job that I'm in. And I have heard some of the saddest stories I've ever heard. And I can't do that without the Lord, because it is emotionally draining. When I get to the end of a work day and I've sat and listened to some of the most hopeless and desperate stories, I've got to go to the Lord with that, because otherwise you carry that. You know, you carry that around with you and it can become a burden. You know, I believe God's put me in that particular job because he's developing me, as you know, in my ability to minister to others and to hear others. Because I'll be absolutely truthful with you. When I went into this job, which is working with people who are clinically obese, I went into that job. I couldn't find any other jobs up north. Tino had already moved up here. I was still in Coventry. The nearest job I could get, it's in Wigan. Wigan people are fantastic, by the way. Absolutely fantastic. You know? But I can see God's hand in it. I really can. Because I'm learning to hear. And I had made prejudgments, I'll be absolutely honest. You know, like a lot of people do. If people are carrying extra weight, it's just because they're lazy. It's just this, that, or the other. people genuinely think like that. But when I heard some of the reasons why people had put weight on, you know, people who have been abused and deliberately put weight on to keep people away from them, people who'd been force-fed as children. I've got a lady I used to work with who had a phobia of food scraps. Utterly bizarre. I mean, absolutely terrified, because she used to be force-fed these scraps for days till she'd finished her meals. So she would rather eat them all than have to see them around. I mean, very, very complex psychological issues. And you just learn such a lot. And it's taught me about hearing what people are saying, understanding where they're coming from. You know, somebody might struggle with something that to you doesn't seem like anything. You think, well, just do that. What's the big deal? Because maybe you haven't struggled with that, but we're all different. And something that you find easy, I might find difficult. And it's about coming alongside people. And ultimately, I believe it's about leading other people to Jesus. You know, because he's the one with the answers. We don't have to come up with the answers all the time. Sometimes someone presents something to you and you think, I don't know what to say. I have no answer to that. But, you know, stay with people, stick with people and hear God for them. Because he's got an answer, even if it's just that you're there to be a comfort. He's got that. But I just feel that we really need to be hearing each other and understanding each other and loving each other. You know, because I think then we will be in it more together. You know, we will go forward more as a family. You know, Rob said this morning, good morning, family. You know, we are a family. Families do fall out sometimes. Sometimes people can be annoying in the family, can't they? But family is family. And God loves all of us the same, doesn't have any favourites. But I just feel a real seriousness that God is saying, I miss some of you folks. You've not spoken to me in a while. Where are you at? You know, I want a communion with you. I'm so desperate to share my heart with you and tell you that I love you and give you some answers, bring you some comfort. But, you know, it's hard for him to do that when you're pushing away and trying to deal with each of these circumstances. Can't do it without him. You really can't. So, I feel like we're at a bit of a crux moment in a way. You know, almost like when somebody presented you with that choice of, you know, becoming a Christian or not. It might have been years ago for some people. I was 5 years old, you know, and I've had to keep coming back to that. But how much are we willing to give? How much are we willing to surrender? How much do we realise that all the stuff that goes on, that isn't the real life? Our relationship with Jesus, that is the real thing. That is the real life. Him walking with you, him speaking to you, him giving you guidance, him giving you comfort, him being your friend who you take every single step with. No matter where you are, home, work, in the car, in the shower, he's always speaking to you. I hear most of my things from the Lord in the shower for some reason. I don't know why. Get all the revelations in there, but it's just so important that we don't keep moving forward from this point without him. Otherwise, to me, this almost feels like a bit of a game sometimes, you know, coming to church, a bit of a ritual. And I don't want that in my life. I want it to be real and meaningful. And I really believe God wants that for you this morning. So what I'd like to do is sing that song again, Tom, because that just fits in so well, that new one that you did this morning. And I just want us to take some time just to be with the Lord. And, you know, sometimes you have to make yourself vulnerable when you're with the Lord, because when I'm completely in the presence of the Lord, I always end up in tears. I can't help it, you know, because he moves on your heart. And I think sometimes we don't want to be seen to be in tears or seen to be vulnerable because other people are around. But it's about surrendering yourself to God in this moment and just letting him move on your heart and just experiencing his presence, because maybe you haven't experienced it in a long time. And you need that, because doing that will change your perspective. Even 5 minutes where you are completely in the presence of God, it will give you a different perspective on everything, all your circumstances, your relationships. If your marriage is in crisis today, God's the one that can sort it out. You know, his perspective will help you to know what to do next. If you're struggling in work, if you're struggling with your kids, whatever it is, spend some time with the Lord and you won't leave here the same as last week or the week before. You'll leave here with a different perspective and maybe an answer or a key or something that he wants you to do. But you need to be in his presence. There really is no better place to be. We need to be doing that constantly until that becomes second nature. That we don't just turn to him when things have got rock bottom or we're in a big crisis and then we think, oh, better pray. Actually, it's about a daily building up of your resilience so that when those times come, your immediate thought is the Lord, that you're with the Lord all the time because your resilience is growing. Build your resilience up. Your spiritual resilience, because we're going to need it in the days to come. You can't bury our heads in the sand. We're going to need to be resilient. We're going to need to know who we are. We're going to need to know how to get in the presence of God quickly. And that's an opportunity that we've got right now, just to do that. Spend some time with him. If anybody just needs a little bit of encouragement this morning, you know, you just can't see the wood for the trees, as they say. And you just feel like you just kind of need to hear what the Lord's saying to you at the moment, then, you know, I'm happy to pray with you. And I'm sure Rob and Jill and other available would be happy to do that and just kind of help you with where you're at the moment, just to get that perspective. Amen.
Oh, spread your wings of mercy over me, and guard my heart with true humility. No shadow of the darkness pressing in. Oh, may the holy overshadowing underneath your overshadow me. No rescue will I seek but God alone. No hiding place alone at your throne. Only the cross, the blood to wash my sin. Only the holy overshadowing underneath your wings, overshadowing. You are my shield and my glory. You are around me, I'll be safe within, beneath the holy overshadow. No blood on my back to heart to bear. Only the easy Lord, you bid me well. Until these troubles pass, my eyes will see. Praise for the holy overshadowing underneath your wings, overshadowing. Save the day.
Haven't we, for God's purposes, transformed by Him, for Him? And you know, we leave here, let's leave here filled, refreshed in the knowledge that we stand in Him. We're found in the name of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful truth? And we go in His strength, with His ability, with His enabling, not in our own strength. I just want to thank Liz for sharing this morning, and let's just pray, shall we, as we finish the meeting. And as I say, if anyone wants personal prayer, if you want us to pray for you, then we'll do that. And then there's tea and coffee and fellowship at the end as well. So let's just pray, shall we, and just again, just give our lives to the Lord. So Father, we want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we, Lord, live and move in you. Lord, we need you. We need you, Holy Spirit, to fill our hearts each and every day. Not to operate in our own strength and our own ability, but we truly need you. And so we pray again, Lord, as we just give our hearts to you afresh, Lord. Fill us anew. Strengthen us and help us, Lord, in the days and weeks ahead. We think of those people as well that we've been praying for, and just pray as well, Lord, for these folks again who are just giving their prayer requests to us. And we lift them to you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you hear the cry of every heart. Everyone who cries out to you, you hear. And Lord, we just agree together, Lord, that you will touch these lives, that you'll truly bring healing and restoration. Lord, this young boy, Lord, who just needs a touch in his body as well, that we read out before. We want him to be touched, Holy Spirit, by you. Lord, this lonely woman, Lord, who just needs a touch from heaven, and many more who are just giving their requests to us. We long to see these lives transformed by you, new life in you. living for your purposes and not for the empty way of life anymore. So we give these people to you, and we give ourselves to you now, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Just one thing while we were worshiping there, I just felt, got the word disappointment really strong, and I feel like there's people here who there's such strong disappointments in your life that you've really found it hard to move on from that or to get God's perspective back, because sometimes you feel disappointed with God, like you don't understand what he's done or why or what's going on, or you feel like you've missed something, you know. So if that kind of witnesses with you, that sort of disappointment, God wants to deal with disappointment so it doesn't hold you back and stop you from moving forward this morning.